This is Melissa Lockard with Steve Berman from the Steamheads, a show about the Oakland A's. Well, I don't know about you, Steve, but I am exhausted after that Game 3. The A's claimed victory out of the hands of defeat in a stunning comeback with a three-run home run in the seventh inning and two more runs in the eighth inning to save their season in a 9-7 win to extend this series to a Game 4. Steve, I wasn't quite thinking the game would go that way when they entered the seventh inning. How were you feeling at that point?
I don't think anyone was. I sent out a tweet right after they won saying, raise your hands if you thought they were going to win when they were down 7-4. Put your hands down. You're all lying. And there's a few people out there, like Roxy Bernstein, who sometimes calls games to the A's, swears up and down that he was right there with them and believed. And same with Casey Pratt, who works for ABC7. He supposedly also was believing the whole time. I'm going to call Balderdash on both, to be honest, because if you're watching that whole series and if you've been watching the A's for a long enough period of time and you saw them once again give up a lead and then not just give up the lead, but then fall behind by three with a bullpen that was starting to look like it was getting a little bit raggedy, I don't think anyone was believing it. I certainly wasn't. I was shocked that the game went the way it did. It was very exciting. Obviously, the fact that they out-homered the Astros was probably a big part of it, too. But there was a lot that went into that game. There was Ramon Laureano's speech, apparently, mid-game. There was Liam Hendricks just gutting it out and going crazy and having one of the best ends to an at-bat against Josh Reddick that we've seen in quite some time, with him just exulting in glory and Josh Reddick slamming his bat in the ground and smashing it over his knee. So definitely a memorable game. It won't mean much if they lose Game 4, but at least for now we get to have a Game 4, and that's more than I thought we'd have in the later innings of that game.
Yeah, and actually I do think even if they do lose Game 4, it does mean something, because I do think it shows a certain heart. It kind of changes the script a little bit. Yeah, you know, and it's like it shows this team is perhaps morphing into something a little bit different than what the last couple of seasons have been like. You know, and there are some key guys that are going to be free agents this offseason, but a lot of the team is coming back, and what you build off of these kinds of moments will probably help them going into next season. But, you know, and focusing on the game that happened on Wednesday, you know, it was that ebbs and flows were just, I mean, it was like you could have taken the first two games and just placed them on top of this one and it would have looked exactly the same. It was almost shocking how much they matched up to the first two. And then, you know, Chad Pinder said that they came back from the sixth inning back to the dugout for the top of the seventh, and it was quiet and they were kind of tense, and Ramon Laureano just went off and basically said, we're not ending our season right now. We've done too much to get swept here. And they responded immediately. I mean, the first three batters of the inning and it was a tie game. They've got to do a lot more for it to turn into more than just a really interesting footnote in the series. But, you know, perhaps that's the A's Hunter Pence moment. You know, that's the guy they've been looking for to give them that fire in these situations. It's, you know, it's funny. One of the the hallmarks of A's teams have been over the years is that they're really nice guys that play on this team. And I remember, I think it was Bill King who used to have the saying that take me some kind of jerks, you know, because the jerks can hit and the nice guys finish last. So, and that's not exactly, he said it in a much more eloquent and probably R-rated way. But basically, they've been the nice guys. They've been the guys that you would sort of root for to win, but they haven't had that fire maybe that you need in these types of games to overcome obstacles. And, you know, for at least that one moment in Game 3, they have their fiery leader who was struggling badly and probably needed it for himself as much as anything else, kind of wake them up and get them towards, you know, get them back into the game and towards a victory. So I thought that was a really cool moment. And Chad Pinder is the best guy to sort of describe that after the game too. He gave a really eloquent description of the whole situation, said it was giving him full body chills even to think about it now.
And also just think about who gave the speech. You know, it's Ramon Laureano, a guy who, you know, against these Astros pitchers had no hits in that series. So leading up to that point, then he ended up with his, you know, the biggest hit of the season, that double down the line, which looks like a huge line drive off the wall in the box score. But anyone watching it knows it was a little fister down the line that blooped in just perfectly and set them up to get the go-ahead runs. So that was pretty amazing because, yeah, he was actually, 0-14 going into that speech, you know? So it's not exactly like Simeon has been hitting the cover off the ball during this series. You know, Pinder's been hitting really well. It wasn't one of those guys. It was Laureano who's been struggling ever since the Astros got him suspended. And he's the guy who's firing up with the troops, and the fact that, and he's probably a guy who doesn't do a lot of that all the time. I know that he's an intense competitor, and I remember when he was when he's been hurt and when he was suspended, Melvin talks about how he's just like talks his ear off and is, you know, always, you know, pestering him because he doesn't know what to do with himself when he's not playing. It kind of adds a little bit to that story that it was Laureano who had that sort of Pensian moment after struggling so mightily throughout the series offensively. And I think, you know, we talked about this yesterday after game two, and I kind of harped on the fact that they've gotten so little offensive production from their outfielders and from Olsen. Olsen hit a home run today, a deep home run. Canna went 2-for-5 with a home run, which was huge in the beginning too, just to kind of get them going. I thought Grossman's at-bats were fantastic. He had two walks coming off the bench in the place of Piscotty. So that was a situation where, you know, there's a bunch of guys in this team who haven't really been pulling their weight offensively in this series. And the fact that the A's are in this position where if Frankie Montas has figured it out, they can possibly force a deciding game five with really, I mean, the A's starting pitching, you know, another thing I harped on yesterday, they didn't get a good start again. Lizardo looked like he might be on his way to a good one. And then in the fifth inning, gives up the two-run homer to Diaz. So, you know, they haven't gotten a good start except for Bassett's game two in the wildcard series the entire time. But they're still in a position where they're alive, and that's really all I can ask for at this point.
Yeah, and I thought Lizardo, I mean, he was pitching pretty well. You know, that first inning, the home run to Altuve happened, but then that second run was three little nubbers that kind of found the right spots, and really they should have turned the inning-ending double play on the ground ball that scored the second run in that inning. And then it just seemed like in the fifth inning, he just lost his feel on that breaking ball that he was getting the swings and misses on in two-strike counts or the soft contact. And he was trying so hard to get that replicated that he was yanking him. And then when it got to a two-strike count to Diaz, it might have even been 3-2, he like felt like he just couldn't go back to it, and he kind of teed it up for Diaz, who really looked lost on the breaking balls up until that point, you know, when he had been facing him. So, you know, again, probably something for him to learn from. My sense was this start was he was far more competitive and far better than he had been in that wild card start. And I think, you know, again, it was probably one of those things where in a normal game, maybe that second run doesn't score in the first inning, and in a normal season he probably pitches, you know, through past the fifth inning and maybe into the sixth or seventh, because he only had 73 pitches at the point that he was pulled in the fifth. So, you know, something good for him to build off of as well. But you're right, I mean, you know, their bullpen going into Thursday's game is going to be a bit of a mess. I know that Hendricks thinks that he can be available after what was really one of the more incredible relief appearances ever seen, but it would be a lot to ask some guy to come back after throwing three innings, even if he only threw, I think it was 39 pitches or 37 pitches. And, you know, he said the 49 pitch outing in the wild card series maybe prepped him for it, but still, you know, the idea of coming back after three ups and downs, it seems like a lot to ask, but we'll see how that goes. Jake Diekman and Yusmeiro Petit, of course, have been used quite frequently in this series already as well. I would imagine Petit for sure wouldn't pitch, just given he's sort of struggled in the last two outings that he's had. Diekman only threw 20 pitches in an inning and a third. It's possible that he could come back, but maybe only for like a left-hander with two outs in an inning that you would hope he wouldn't have to do the three batter minimum. So Bob Melvin's definitely going to have to get creative. And you're right, I mean, if they're going to be competitive in this game four, Frankie Montas has got to give him one of those starts like he had at the start of the season.
And I actually think he can. You know, it's Montas is a guy who is overpowering when he's on. He's either been really on or really off this year. So, I mean, Lizardo and Minaya were guys I was worried about going into the series, especially playing at Dodger Stadium during the day, because especially in Lizardo's case, Lizardo's given up a lot of home runs this year, and usually they come in bunches. So, you know, I think the fact that, you know, he gave up that home run to Diaz was unfortunate, because he actually was, as you said, he was in a rhythm. You know, he got out of those two innings consecutively on double plays, and they weren't like lucky double plays either. They were like just routine. One of them was to him. I thought that he had actually figured something out after a little bit of a rough start early and was settling in, was going to have a nice outing. So I was actually, that home run by Diaz actually took me by surprise. I thought he'd sort of settle in and figured it out. I think for tomorrow, you hope that Montas can give you at least five innings, hopefully six. And then after that, Wendelken, who to me has been maybe their best reliever, at least least most consistent along with Diekman that they've had so far in the postseason. You got to rely on him a little bit. Soria didn't pitch today. I think he was okay in game two. And I think Hendricks is going to pitch again. I think if there's any question in terms of whether he could help the team in a late game situation and they need him, I think he's back. I mean, he came back after pitching 49 pitches in one day. You know, he had several days off before throwing 37 pitches today. I don't know. I don't see him saying no, and I don't think that the A's and Bob Melvin would be in a position to decline if he offered his services, just because when he's on, you see what he's like. I mean, he's right up there, I'd say, top three relief pitcher in entire major leagues right now. I mean, he's in rare form, rare territory at this point. He's been dominant for the better part of two seasons now. So, and he's shown that in the playoffs. You know, he had a little bit of a rough go when he had to throw 49 pitches, but I think he was just a little bit off with his slider. He figured out a slider again, and that fastball was blowing people away too. So yeah, and as you mentioned in your article today, you know, he allowed two base runners, and one of them was on a catcher's interference. So that's pretty amazing, three innings. So that definitely goes down in A's lore. It'll go down more so if he's able to pitch tomorrow and the A's can make this a series and take it to a game five, which would just be outstanding. Hopefully LaStella is okay. I know he has a contusion on his elbow from getting hit by a pitch. And then Pinder, you know, he can't go much longer without talking about him, because, you know, Pinder's hitting 444 in the series, went 3-4 today. And that opposite field home run that he hit, I mean, the opposite field home run he hit last time was actually just ridiculously impressive based on the fact that it pretty much almost left the stadium. And then this one, you know, barely cleared the wall, but it was down that right field line. And yeah, he's a guy who we don't even know if he's even feeling that good right now with that hamstring. And the way that he made that amazing diving play on the little pop fly, kind of almost like swinging bunt sort of deal. So yeah, his defense was pretty good as well. So I think for sure, I mean, Jake Lamb was really nice in September after they acquired him, but Pinder definitely has to start in game four.
Yeah, I think he'll probably start. And my guess is that if he doesn't start at third, it's because he's starting at second if LaStella can't go, which, you know, again, also speaks to Pinder's versatility and how important that is as well, because he can kind of cover a couple of areas for the team defensively in addition to, you know, what he can bring at the plate. But I think he's proven, at least in this series right now, that it doesn't matter if it's a right-hander or a left-hander, you know, he's pretty locked in. And so it's not clear if the Astros are going to go with Zach Greinke or somebody else, but I think it's likely to be a right-hander regardless of who it is, but I'd still expect to see him in there. So it's definitely going to be interesting to see how everything breaks down. And we're recording this before the Rays and Dodgers games are completed here, but as of the end of the A's game, every single postseason game so far in this postseason has been won by the team that has out-homered the other team. So we'll keep an eye on that tomorrow. Obviously, this series, there's going to be some more home runs hit, and it'll be interesting to see if the A's can, like today, out-muscle a team like the Astros, who obviously can hit them with the best of them. So we're excited to talk to you guys tomorrow after game four. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be back after game four.